This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to the Hope Centre, where real stories meet real conversations about mental health, growth and hope. I'm Anna, and we're here to share, connect and remind you that you're not alone. Let's dive in. Kia ora and welcome to the Hope Centre podcast, a project put together by Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust with the help of ORFM and Anytime Fitness in Dunedin. If you have any topics that you'd like us to cover or are interested in being a guest on the podcast, please reach out to us on our Facebook page or email admin@lifematters.org.nz. Kia ora, I'm Anna.
And this is Omri.
We're both senior peer support workers at Life Matters and we'll be your hosts for this conversation about hope, healing and lived experience.
And hope is what it is. And I think that's some feedback that we've had recently, which has been really nice, is about the hope and the different possibilities that some of these conversations are having. And I'd like to say, yeah, thank you, Anna, for helping facilitate a lot of those.
Oh, shucks. Thank you.
And to all of our guests, because, yeah, I think you and our guests have provided some awesome insight, just like our guest today is going to. Today we're talking to an absolute legend of the game, a researcher, a leader of many kinds, and also it's a very genuine, kind and thoughtful human being, and the boss lady of the Hope Centre, Dr. Meg Vardy. Welcome to the podcast, Meg. Introduce yourself if you would like to.
Well,
I think you've done a good job.
Yeah, I don't know that I need to say anything more than that, really. Thanks, guys. And you use my full title, you use the doctor. Kia ora koutou, ko Meg Vardy toku ingoa. I'm the assistant manager at Life Matters, but currently I am the acting general manager, which has been a bit of a transition, which is what we're going to talk about today. Outside of that, I have a background in research. I lived in the UK doing research over there for a number of years before I realised that academia, whilst it has its good sides, was not filling my cup. And I really wanted to work with people. And I also wanted to work in a way that used my lived experience. So when I was an academic, I never shared my lived experience, although my research was informed by it. And so when I came back to New Zealand, I discovered the world that is peer support and absolutely knew that it was the place that I needed to be and have been working in the space ever since. I am also a mama, which again is something we're going to talk about a little bit today. I have an 11-month-old Peppy, almost one, which is wild.
Insane.
It is so crazy. People say it goes fast and it really does go fast. Mm-hmm. It feels like just yesterday she was this tiny little bean. Now she's a slightly bigger bean. Exactly. She's starting to walk and it's a lot of fun. What else should I say about myself? That kind of summarizes it, I think.
Yeah, a great summary before we transition into it. And before we do, part of the tikanga of our podcast, one of the part of the rules are that we have a guest leave a question for the next person. And Fiona, who was on our podcast last fortnight, left, when you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Love that question.
Mm.
I'm fascinated to hear what you guys say. What did I want to be? I think I went through a lot of phases of different things that I wanted to be. But I think the one that stands out to me, and this is going to age me a little bit, is I wanted to be the sixth Spice Girl.
Nice.
Oh, damn. That's not what I expected at all.
What spice would you have been?
Do you know what? I don't know. I was when we used to play Spice Girls at school and I was always Baby Spice. I think because I was blonde then. What would I be? I don't know. I need to think about it a little bit more. But that was one of the things I did want. I had these like daydreams that they were going to discover me one day, and then I was gonna join the Spice Girls.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
That's really cool.
Yeah. What about you guys?
I mean, I mean, off the back of that, like, I just find it quite funny that you played the Spice Girls at school, because I feel like we've all got a similar experience. We played High School Musical at school. Mm. And, yeah, it's just quite amusing to me to think of young children pretending to be the Spice Girls. Me and Omri's answer is actually the same. We both wanted to be vets.
Interesting.
Mm. Which, I mean, kind of makes sense. It kind of like falls under the same umbrella of caring for someone or something.
Yeah.
Mine was, I think I mentioned this last, we've had many conversations about this since, so I don't know where I've mentioned what, but I thought it was all sunshine and rainbows and taking care of animals and cuddling them and loving them, but it's not. Yeah, it's a lot more intense than that. Mm. I've got Tangata Whaiora I support, who's currently a vet nurse student, and I've heard a lot of not so lovely stories. So, you know, that went out the window as soon as I learned that it wasn't just fun and games.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. I think similar to you, though, I had a new phase every 5 minutes, but vet is the one that seems to have stuck around the longest.
Mm.
Yeah, then I sprayed a fly with some fly spray, and seeing it die, I thought, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's such a funny thought.
Are you the kind of person that saves spiders? Like, if you find a spider in your house, are you going to take it outside?
No, I'll tip my hat as a welcome. If you stick around, paying some rent would be lovely.
Yeah.
But otherwise, go about your day, sir.
No, you see, I can't deal with spiders. I've got quite a big. I mean, I've grown out of it. There was a period in time where spiders were like, I couldn't think of literally anything worse.
Mm.
I did flush a spider down the sink the other day, and the guilt ate away at me all day. So I won't be doing that. I'll just tip my hat and walk off.
And ask for rent occasionally.
Yeah. Our bathroom, this is going so off topic, but our bathroom is like below ground level, and the amount of interesting little bugs and creatures that come into our bathroom, the odd snail, like, yeah, I love a wee snail.
Just, I like a
snail
too.
And like put it out the window, and it's okay. But
Your cats don't go after them. I suppose snails are a bit slow. Probably not that interesting.
I would hate to be a moth around them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dog used to try and make friends with snails.
Aww.
Yeah,
what?
That's really
that
sweet.
Happen?
Yeah, he loved snails. He'd give them a little sniff and lie down next to them, sometimes give them a little lick.
Aww.
Yeah. Weird dude.
It tracks. Anyways, cool.
Yeah, so as we mentioned before, we're going to be talking about transitions and knowing that they are a natural part and course of life, and they're also very anxiety-producing. And so it's important that we recognize the importance of them and the struggle of transitioning into different parts of our lives. And we're excited to hear your reflections on how you've transitioned and how you face transitions, Meg.
Mm. Mm. I mean, I guess first and foremost, I'm quite curious, you know, when we approach people to come and be a guest on the podcast, we ask them what they may or may not be interested in discussing. And I think, you know, this topic is something that you brought forward to Omri and I, and I'm kind of wondering what the thought process behind it. Like, why is this something that you would like to share and discuss? Because it's a very cool topic, something that happens to a lot of us.
Yeah. I guess it's pretty front of mind for me at the moment because I have gone through some big sort of identity shifts in the last wee bit. And, you know, when I was walking in today, the weather today is so in transition. It is, it is blustery out there. It is sunny one second, rainy the next. The weather doesn't know what it's doing today. And which I think is just very, very fitting for today's conversation.
It's almost like they knew this was happening.
And it's spring, you know, spring is a time of transition. So I guess in the last year, I've become a mama. I've stepped into a new role at work. And I think becoming a mama is one of the biggest transitions one can go through. And I think it's one that's not often spoken about. I say that. I read a book a while ago called Matrescence, which is the word for the transition of becoming a mama. And it's, you know, focused on the emotional, the psychological, the physical changes that go with becoming a mama. But I think the biggest part of it for me is, you know, I know that I'm never going to be one person again. Which is pretty wild. And it is a huge change that has so many magical things about it, but it's also really hard. It's really hard. The first year with a Pepe it really tests you, and it really sort of makes you stop and think about who you are and what kind of parent you want to be. But in terms of my changes, you know, as a woman, your body changes a lot through pregnancy and then having a baby and breastfeeding and all of those things. It puts a lot of strain on your body. It makes it, you know, I've got a very, turbulent history in terms of my relationship with my body, as I have lived experience of an eating disorder. But becoming a mama has actually made me appreciate my body in a different way, which is really nice to be able to reflect on. I guess I live my life in a very different way to the way that I used to live my life. You know, even coming in for today's podcast, having to think about who's going to look after my Pepe while I'm out. You know, I don't have the freedom that I used to just kind of do what I want. It's such a magical transition as well. I can't even put into words how magical it is. But then on top of that, also transitioning into becoming stepping more into leadership, into this acting general manager role. And I was relatively new to the team before that anyway. I've been with Life Matters for a year and a bit, and some of that I was on maternity. No, it's more than that now. Actually, must be a year and a year and a half, something like that.
Because you started a couple months before me.
Yeah.
I think I actually only did one shift with you before you went on maternity leave as well.
Yeah.
So I started September of last year.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That would be about right. I was relatively new to the team. So finding my identity within Life Matters, but then also now in leadership. And that's been a really interesting transition. So I guess I raised it as a topic with you guys because we all go through transitions all of the time, right? All throughout life. And as you rightly recognized, Omri, I think they come with some anxiety. Change is hard. Change can be exciting. And I guess it's just that space to talk about how we transition into different areas and what parts of, I guess the thing that I've been thinking about a lot is what parts of my identity do I carry through these transitions and what parts of my identity have changed.
I'm wondering as well on that with when you talk about change of identity and transitioning through different things, what about identity is key to you to keep?
Interesting. I guess for me, big parts of my identity that I think this whole process that I've been through has really highlighted for me is how important compassion is to me and love. And I try to embody that no matter what role I'm in, no matter which hat I'm wearing. Which is hard sometimes, but that to me is something that I think I stick to because that's a core of who I am. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm interested to hear from you guys. What are the parts of your identity that you feel like you've held on to through transitions that you've gone through in your life?
Mm. I find it very interesting with, because of me having a brain injury, I feel like I'm not the same person and I don't feel like I had control over my identity change. Like I fundamentally don't think I'm the same human being as I was. Some of those things for good, some not so good. And so I think that's very hard where I haven't had the control over what I, over a lot of the change. But part of it as well is like, how do I then really focus in on what I want? So a lot of it is to do with values and what are my values and how do I, again, meet people with compassion or show kindness to myself. And again, really live. And I think actually intentional peer support and peer support has helped with that of how do we, you know, it's not just a model, as Fiona said, it's about social change and how do we change, how do we communicate, not only with others but ourselves, to open up a conversation rather than close it down.
I hate when I think of an answer and I think it's a really good answer and then Omri says it and I'm like, well, it must have been a good answer. No, I guess what you were saying about carrying the compassion and the aroha through all of your different roles, it really made me reflect on some conversations that I've had with different people within the Hope Centre about, you know, transitioning through different times of your life or going through things, but, you know, aligning to your core values and who you are as a person and not necessarily wavering from that. And I think compassion's a big thing, whether it's compassion for other people or compassion for myself. That's always been really important throughout the different phases of my life. I mean, not to the same extent as you, but, you know, coming off the back of being a uni student and then deciding what I'm going to do and then working full time and then like all the opportunities I've had, it can be quite overwhelming and it can be, even though it's a good thing, I think transition and change, it can also be quite, can make me spiral a wee bit if I think about it too much. But I think that compassion and kindness is a really big one, and also something that I feel like I've been open about on the podcast, but also in a lot of my relationships, is also having confidence and trusting myself is also something I've really been working on. But yeah, to me, kind of looking at opportunities and the things that are coming my way and, you know, seeing how that fits in with who I am and, you know, whether I'm wavering on my values and kind of adjusting accordingly to that. But as soon as you said values, Omri, I was like, taking my words.
But I, not to, you know, it, the transition of going from being a student to working is huge.
It is huge. Yeah,
it is huge, especially if you've, if you haven't had any time out of uni or out of education.
Yeah.
You know, from the minute you're five until you're, you know, early 20s.
Yeah.
You're a student of some description, and then all of a sudden that's like whipped out from underneath you and you have to start earning money and paying taxes.
And being an adult.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there's still that structure, but that structure is completely different. Yeah, adapting to new routine.
Yeah, and you're totally right, and I'm glad you called me out about it, because that's the thing. Like, the compassion I hold for other people may look different to the compassion I hold for myself, but yes, if that's something you're going through, that is a huge deal. But you know, just like even the finishing uni, it's like you finish your last exam and it's like, okay, now I'm on holidays now. Now I got to find a job. Now I got to, am I moving? Am I staying? Like, these things can cause a lot of stress. And I feel very fortunate that I was at the Hope Centre anyways, so I could just kind of pick things up and get going. But I'm also recognised a lot of people don't have that and it can be really, really hard.
Yeah, gosh. And self-compassion is a lifelong journey, right? I think for many people, I too have a very loud inner critic at times. Even when you're doing your introduction, Omri, my inner critic's going, meh. So I have to hold myself back from, say, you know, from negating your kind words. But yeah, I mean, it is an ongoing. I also, you know, self-compassion's been something I've struggled with a lot, and still do. But it's funny how it's so different when it's aimed at yourself rather than other people, because I know that you are one of the most compassionate people I know. And sometimes it is the people who are most compassionate outwardly that that struggle with it inwardly.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
I've been talking with some people I support about, you know, who writes these rules? You know, we have one set of rules for ourselves and another set of rules for other people, and often those rules for ourselves are much harsher. And so, you know, often we write those rules, so we also have the power to rewrite them.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Not easy. But
it's not easy.
We have that power.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering for you both as well, with that self-compassion and with giving yourselves that time to and space to grow, how do you feel you view and manage transitions differently than you have in the past?
Mm. Ooh, that's a really good question.
Yeah. I guess for me, when I think about other sort of huge transitions that I've been, I've always been someone who has found uncertainty difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like things that are concrete. I like things where I can, you know, there's a rule book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can make a spreadsheet and those kinds of things. Uncertainty is something I've always found scary. I think, honestly, I think my healing journey has really helped me to be in a better place with uncertainty, with sitting with uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess throughout my healing journey, I've had to put a lot of trust in other people and a lot of trust that it will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of uncertainty when you go through that sort of healing. When I think about when I was living with my eating disorder very close to me, to where I am now, where there's distance between me and my eating disorder, that is a huge transition. Mm-hmm. And I really, in that process, had to trust others when they told me that it was worth it and it would be okay, and I was worth it. And I think that's really taught me to trust, and B, that it's okay to not know what it looks like at the end, and uncertainty is okay.
Mm.
It's still hard.
Yeah.
But that's been a learning, I think, that I can take forward.
Mm. And that's really cool as well. That's often what I talk about with a lot of my guests. If we are wanting to take something away, we've got to replace it with something. And I'm really hearing for you a lot of that. Taking away the scariness of uncertainty is putting trust into either others or systems, and so being able to build it up in yourself.
Yeah.
And that's really hard when a lot of the time we feel so alone because we don't know who to trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering as well, like on that, what for you is someone that you can trust? How do you know what trust can look like with people?
Ooh, how do you know what trust can look like? Mm. That's a good one. Mm. I suppose to me, trust is a feeling, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a feeling in your bones.
Yeah.
And I know that I wouldn't be where I am today without the people in my life who are important, who, you know, my husband and my mum who were with me throughout my healing journey, and they were the ones saying, you can do this. And they're the ones now who support me in my leadership shifts, in my you know, mama shifts, all of that kind of stuff. I recognize the privilege as well of having that support network, because a lot of people don't have that, and that's one of the reasons I'm so glad to work in the place that I do, where we can create that sense of community and support and trust for people. Mm-hmm. People come in. Trust is one of our values at the Hope Centre, and it's a core part of peer support that goes both ways.
Yeah.
I think I've learned a lot about trust through intentional peer support as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about you guys?
I think I agree. I feel like trust is a feeling, and trust is built from spaces where I feel safe and where I feel respected. But I also think trust differs for me depending on the human and the relationship that we've created. I know something we talk a lot about intentional peer support is boundaries. And, you know, those boundaries may look different with different people. And for me, there is different relationships where I feel like I can trust different people with different things. And that is just a normal part of human life. But I totally agree. It is a feeling to me. And a lot of it is around respect. What about you?
I'm going to take feeling and go for state of being. It's very much of trust, especially for me in different therapeutic relationships, has been someone who wants to connect with me as a human rather than look at the issues or problems I have as something to fix or solve. And so I think a lot of trust comes from genuine connection and comes from people actually wanting to know you for you rather than just what's going on for you. And whether that be some sessions feel like they're off task, you know, talking about interests and likes. But that's what's important to understand the full picture of a human and the full picture of someone that we have sitting in front of us, not just what they're struggling with. It's also celebrating those successes and, you know, getting ideas on what to watch or, you know, even guests give me ideas on different ways of looking at things, which I then can take either into my own life or practice.
And that's the beauty of peer support, isn't it? That mutuality.
Yeah.
That you walk away, that both having learned something.
I feel like we've come out of sessions together and reflected together and talked about that. I don't know if I'm doing earmarks. I don't know if we're doing this right by, you know, talking about hobbies and interests and stuff, but that's the first task of IPS is connection, right? Something that came up in our reflective space yesterday was like, if you're talking to someone about a subject that they're knowledgeable about and it may be something super elaborate and, you know, complicated, or it may just be something like someone's interest and hobbies and stuff. If you're talking about something that someone's got a lot of knowledge and a lot of care about, that's pretty mana enhancing. But I think you're right. I think connection is at its core. Cool. Yes. we've got a few more questions that we would love to kind of discuss. Before we do so, we will pop to a quick ad break from our sponsor.
At Anytime Fitness Dunedin, our mission is to raise the self-esteem of the world. A healthy lifestyle doesn't start and stop at the gym. It starts with a plan, which is why we offer solutions that incorporate fitness, nutrition, well-being, and recovery. With three local clubs to choose from, with 24/7 access, we're certain you'll find your fit. Contact us today to get started. Call 03-455-0013 or visit anytimefitness.co.nz.
Thank you to our lovely sponsor, Anytime Fitness. We have got a few more questions that we would love to discuss around this topic of transitions. And I feel like it falls into, you know, identity and being and just being a human, really. I suppose I'll start off. I find for myself that there's often a lot of self-doubt in different transitions. Is that the same for you guys? And how do you challenge those thoughts?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Imposter syndrome is real. It's real. When I think of myself, you know, with the title of being a leader, I find that the imposter syndrome is super real. I guess I do, though. What I really appreciate is being in a work whānau where I can be honest about that and sort of say that's how I feel. That's what I love about Life Matters is the authenticity. But yes, absolutely. A lot of self-doubt. I guess all of these changes always bring self-doubt, and in some ways that's how I know I'm in what Cuba would call the stretch zone. So kind of maybe just pushing myself just a little bit, not so that it's uncomfortable or too uncomfortable, but just so that it's like, I don't know, expanding.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think imposter syndrome is something that everyone experiences at some point. You know, people, I think people are starting to talk about it a little bit more now, but you hear about it in all sorts of different spaces. You know, as an academic, I heard imposter syndrome all the time. As a, you know, as a PhD student, a lot of PhD students talk about imposter syndrome. And, and I think behind that, for some, for a lot of us, is maybe, but I know for me, it comes from a place of do I feel worthy? Do I feel enough?
Yeah.
And again, that's a lifelong journey, isn't it? All of us dealing with our self-worth. But I think how do I challenge it? I think acknowledging it, and just being okay with that feeling being there. So it's maybe not challenging it as much as it's accepting it.
I think as you said, naming it not only for yourself but to others, because I think again that's when we can we have that trust and we can try and trust others. Words. And again, I wouldn't have written or said those words if I didn't mean them, Meg. And, you know, as much as the internal voice is there pushing them away, again, they're 100% my truth. And so I hope that some of my truth can come on to you. But I think imposter syndrome in general, it's again something for myself is naming it to others so other people can kind of fill my cup up when I struggle to. And so recognizing the community that we have, whether it be Life Matters, whether it be outside, to really, for me it's kind of actively challenging them and trying to find the facts for and against, and that's huge for me is how do I know this, so kind of like literally writing facts for, facts against, and writing them down. And it's not a matter of which column has more but what column feels like it's more. And often I prove myself wrong, and that's great.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
It actually reminds me, I had the absolute joy and pleasure of visiting Art Centre yesterday. And they were talking about sometimes when people come in and because they everyone who goes goes to Art Centre is an artist. And how people initially sort of think, oh, I'm not an artist. And then the creative juices start flowing because that's what happens in that place. It just really brings out the creativity because it's such a wonderful kind of, I don't know, it's such a like a joy to look around Art Centre. I feel like I could look around those walls and see different people's art forever. That, you know, even that title of being an artist, there's an imposter syndrome that people feel initially, but being in that calm, being held in that space to become an artist really helps people to embrace that label. And maybe it's the same for me as I'm learning to sit with the label of leader or leadership. That I'm in a space that I feel held to do that, and that to me is what leadership is. It's not being the person to stand up and say, Me. It's the person to stand alongside, I think I don't know. I've gone way off topic now, but we can go back to imposter syndrome. I'm not quite sure actually where I was going with that, but just to say that I think the space that you're in helps you to really embrace those transitions to different identities.
And I think those connections that you build within those spaces, and it links back to that feeling of trust, really, you know, can reinforce those feelings of worth and self-worth. So I know for me, the people who surround me are the people who believe in me a hell of a lot more than I believe in myself. I think this is something I've been going through. I mean, If I really want to look back at the timeline for a really, really long time, but it's funny how the people around you perceive you totally different to how you perceive yourself. And I had a moment the other day when I was walking into work, and it was off the back of a conversation that we had, and it was looking at feedback that I had received over like the past year. And it's like, Anna this, Anna that, Anna is so good at this, Anna is so good at that. And I was walking to work and I was like, no, I'm not. I was like, how come everyone else is telling me this, but I don't believe it myself? I'm just going to start believing it now. Mm-hmm. And that wave is sometimes, mm-hmm. but like, yeah, I feel like for me, there hit a point where I was like, okay, everyone else has got all this belief in me. I really need to start taking that on and believing in myself. Mm. And it's a foreign feeling. Mm. It shouldn't be, but it is. And again, that impostery voice pops in every now and again.
Yeah.
And it's like, who do you think you are? But I think self-belief is a huge thing. Hey,
You've gone through your transition into leadership as well lately, stepping into your new team leader role.
Yeah. I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast. But this year has been like a crazy year of transitions, and I think imposter syndrome has been a big thing that's been looming around me with that, because like who says I'm in the position to do this, and who said I can do that? And obviously with leadership does come with a lot of self-doubt and, you know, some moments of going home being like, can I really do this? Like, but no, I feel like there's hit a point where I can only have Amy and Omri and Rifa and Meg telling me as much as they want that they think I'm capable and they think I'm worthy and they think I can do this. I really just need to start believing in myself. And it's made a difference. Like I've had or heard things that may have gone against my self-belief usually. And I'm like, no, like I'm not going to take that on. I don't have energy to give to that space when I've got to give the energy to myself and believing in myself. But it's a journey. Mm-hmm. It's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm wondering as well, for both of you, you touched on it there, Anna, that carrying previous learnings that we've had through transitions, and those transitions might have been through joy or through pain.
Mm.
And then meeting new challenges and transitions in the present, how do you find you carry those learnings from the past into the present?
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I've kind of already touched on the sort of learning about trust being a really important one for me. And I think what you're saying, Anna, as well, about really the difference between listening and hearing what other people are saying and sometimes externalizing it, you know, externalizing that internal voice allows you to kind of come to receive information from others that you can then use to challenge the internal voice. I think trust is a big learning that I have taken forward. And that's transitioned through both hurt and joy that I've been able to learn that. Because not, you know, we're talking a lot here about positive transition, but there's also transition that is painful, that can be a struggle, but a struggle that feels like it might not feel like it's got a golden pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, because sometimes transition, as you were saying before, Omri, is thrown upon you and you don't get a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it just sucks.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to hear your reflections on what you can take forward through transitions that are challenges.
Mm.
'Cause, sometimes it does really suck. And when you're in it, it just sucks.
Yeah.
But when you can kind of come out the other end, sometimes there can be, you can look back and think, okay, well, I've learned, this is what I've learned that I can take forward to the rest of my life.
Mm. I think a lot for me around head injury was slowing down, because I was very much someone who, if things were hard, I'll throw myself into study, I'll throw myself into work.
Mm.
Let's distract. But it really made me go, stop and breathe. What is happening right here, right now? What can I manage, and what I could manage with a whole lot less than what I used to be able to.
Mm.
You know, worked pretty much full time while also studying. And then for many, many, many years, I couldn't work more than 20 hours a week.
Mm.
And so a lot of what I had was forced to learn, was forced to slow down and recognize that I don't have to be the perfect little worker. I don't need to be the hardest worker. Mm-hmm. I just need to work to what I can do and work to my abilities. The only person that I need to impress or be proud of is myself. I don't need other people. I don't need other people doing it. It's nice when it happens and it's great when it happens, mm-hmm. but it's not a need. Another big part of that is listening to others. And part of that listening is when people are telling me to slow down, that's people recognizing that I'm not doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being open to hearing that and being open to going, okay, I might need to change things and I've got to lean on other people for that, and being open to leaning on other people. Because, not things I enjoyed doing at all.
Mm. Asking for help.
Asking for help, yeah, and accepting help.
Mm-hmm.
I think, sometimes it's even if you have asked for it and someone said yes, you're like, I actually don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
So if I've asked for it or not, be open to accepting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure.
Mm, yeah. I mean, I definitely, becoming a mama, asking for help has been something that I've had to do a lot more of. And it's something I also struggled with a lot, because I want to be the person to do it.
Yeah.
I don't like having to rely on other people necessarily, although I do all the time. But, actually asking even things like housework.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, I want to get everything done. But actually sometimes I it's more important that I'm with my Pepe.
Yeah.
And so asking someone else to help with the housework or, even that to me has been a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Asking for help is a big one. I think that a lot of people find difficult. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. It doesn't mean that you're any less worthy because you ask for help.
Yeah. And doesn't mean that you're bad at those things.
No.
It just means, again, help is needed, and that's totally fine and should be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And on that reflection, I would like to take you into another ad break from Anytime Fitness.
Anytime Fitness Dunedin is here to raise the self-esteem of the world. Whether you're new to fitness or getting back into a routine, now's the time to put yourself first. With a supportive community, 3 local clubs, flexible membership options and access anytime, we're here to help you reach your goals. Get in touch with our friendly team today. Call 03455 0013 or visit anytimefitness.co.nz.
Thank you, Anytime Fitness Dunedin, for sponsoring the podcast and your flexibility with how to be accessed. We are still here with our general manager, Meg, and we are going to start wrapping up into our final 5 questions. But before we do dive into that, we're wondering if you have any final thoughts or messages that you'd like to share for those who might be struggling.
Ooh, yeah, I mean, I have lots of thoughts. But just thinking back on the conversation that we've had today, I think acknowledging that change is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
That change can be really, really hard. And what, and we've all talked about how leaning on others has been a really big tool for us when going through periods of change. And so I would just like to remind everyone who's listening that the Hope Centre is there, that you are worthy, that you matter, and that you can do this, and that's I guess what I want to remind everyone of all the time. When I think about, because we're you may not know, we're, as peer, as Life Matters is moving into the emergency department.
Yes. Entering a period of big uncertainty for a lot of us.
And when I think about what we offer in that space, it's that we can sit next to someone and remind them that they are worthy. Because I know for me, when I've gone into this is going way off topic now. But when I've gone into emergency departments and in mental distress, that, you know, you're surrounded by people who have, you know, they've got a broken leg or something like that, and you can suddenly feel like your pain is not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to sit next to people and remind them that they matter.
So that
I guess, going back to the question, I would just like to, remind everyone that they are worthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a particularly important message. I mean, just thinking about it, we're, halfway through October? Mm. We're very quickly coming up to the end of the year, and I know, like, a lot of students and probably school students are starting to wrap up and go through exams, and some people may be graduating, and some people may be finishing school, and some people may be finishing jobs. So I think that's a really important message to hear for anybody, but, you know, looking at what the rest of the year looks like. Lots of change.
Lots of change. And, really touching on what you're saying as well, Meg, is I don't think any of us would have thought at certain times that we would be able to be here like we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing of, we believe in you that you can do it, and it's okay if you need help to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for that.
Actually, before we get into the last five questions, I also just want to acknowledge how incredible you guys are for holding this space for all of these amazing conversations that you've had over the last, is this episode 11 or 12?
Oh, goodness.
12 or 13, I think.
12 or 13, wow. Yeah.
Something, time's flown by.
Yeah, you guys have done such an amazing job of, you've had all sorts of conversations, and I invite any listeners to go back and listen to any episodes that you haven't already listened to, because each one is filled with many, many gems. I have to say, one of my favorites is the episode with Cuba where you guys talk about music, because I think it's just the authenticity in that conversation is so real.
There's just something
palpable
about hearing people talk about things that they are genuinely passionate about. I think I remember growing up, and I mean, even as an adult, being like, oh, I like this, or I like this artist, and it being like, why do you like this person, and why do you like that person? And it really gets you down. And it's like, gosh, opening up a space for people to just authentically talk about whatever they want to talk about is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what the next, can we, I don't.
I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, good news if you're listening and you're enjoying the Hope Center, because we're going to be back for another 12 episodes.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting.
And a huge thank you to Anytime Fitness for your continued support.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to make this podcast without you. So big pucky pucky. I'm not gonna actually clap because you guys are
silently
I was worried about the noise on the mic.
Yeah.
But big pucky pucky to you guys. Thank you. We really value you.
Mm. Yeah, that would have been an awkward cut it out moment. we couldn't say, but yes. No, who knows what the next 12 episodes will bring and what we'll cover, but hopefully a lot more authenticity and people talking about things that they love and happiness.
Yeah.
It's been a lovely conversation. We've got our final five to wrap up today. These are five quick fire questions, and we will invite you to leave a question for the next guest.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Do you want to get started?
Let's get started. Meg, what does well-being mean to you?
That is a really interesting question, and I think it's changed a lot over time. Well-being to me, it's changed a lot over time, but there are some things that remain the same. What really fills my cup, apart from spending time with my Peppy, which does definitely fill my cup, is getting out in nature.
Nice.
Mm. So on the weekend, we had a really glorious weekend here in Dunedin this weekend just passed. And we went down to Tyree Mouth and went for a walk, and It was just like the sun was out. We had a little picnic in the sun. There were beautiful views. And it's one of those moments that you're like, wow, we live in an incredible country. And we got ice creams on the way home. And it was just like that day was just perfection until we got home in the evening. And then Rosie got a fever. And of course. Apart from that, so I think well-being to me, what's important for me in my well-being is connecting to nature.
Nice. I think this might be the first episode that I haven't mentioned the beach, so I'm sad and glad someone mentioned nature.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you do that brings you a sense of calm, balance, or peace?
I think one thing that I have learnt since being a mama is finding the little moments. So it might not be getting out and going for a big walk. It might be just, you know, and it's something I learnt actually from another mama is, you know, when you stop the car, just like taking a second to just like take a breath before you go inside the house you know, you're making dinner and just take a second to take a breath before you, you know, serve it on plates. And so it's those little moments that I think I'm beginning to appreciate more as my life has become a bit more hectic.
Nice.
Beautiful. If you could make one rule that everyone had to follow, what would it be?
Yeah, and I've heard this question with other guests, and there's a trend of kindness, and I have to say I'm going to jump on that bandwagon because actually that is something. Just kindness would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of kindness about, so let's embrace it, and run with it because. Love. It's all about love.
Love is all we need.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you tell your younger self now?
What would I tell my younger self now? I would tell my younger self that I think you are stronger than you think.
No. Oh.
That's what I would tell my younger self.
Nice.
Mm.
Okay.
And you do you as well. Yes. Would be the other thing. You do you.
You do you.
Mm.
Cool. Would you like to leave a question for the next guest? I'm trying to think who. Oh, yes.
Mm.
Will it influence you, the question that you leave, or you just want to go for it?
I've been thinking about this. And honestly, that this question of leaving a question has probably been the one that I've thought about the most coming on today.
Like, what do I want to know?
Yeah. It's my question is a two-part question. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Yep.
So my question would be, if you were going to go back in time for a day, mm-hmm. what time period would you go to? If you were going to go back in time for a year, what period in time would you go to?
Ooh, because I think we had someone asked about a historical event, but that's very interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. I feel like usually sometimes we've got like an immediate answer, but I think I need to ponder this one.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a slow burn for me as well. Mm-hmm. Like there are lots of different ideas and thoughts, but none that are rising to the top.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, looks like you'll have to listen to the next podcast to find out our answers. Yeah. Do you have an immediate answer?
Okay, so I have had time to think about this a bit. I think if for a day, it would have to be. I would love to go back to the Aztecs. When I was a kid, I read a horrible histories on the Aztecs, and it just got me really fascinated. Mm-hmm. So I think for a day, but I don't want to go there for a day because I think I. Find it overwhelming and terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Very different building.
Yeah. But for a year, I think I'd go back to like the 60s.
Ooh.
Like the music, the fashion. I love that vibe. Women were starting to, really fight for their rights a bit more. And so I think the 60s would be it.
Would you stay in New Zealand for the 60s? Would you go somewhere else?
That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, I would quite like to stay in New Zealand. I also, the other place that springs to mind for me is London.
Mm.
Yeah.
Being in the UK in the 60s would be pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a very, very good answer. Mm. Yes. No, I need to ponder, but instead, just have to tune in a fortnight.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Final thank you to you, Meg. I don't know about you, Omri, but I've really enjoyed the conversation that we've had so far. That's the end of the episode. The conversation we've had today. Thank you to you, Omri, for joining me for another week of the podcast.
Thank you, Anna. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you to ORFM, to Life Matters and Anytime Fitness for sponsoring the podcast. If you have any ideas for the podcast or wish to be a guest, please reach out to us at admin@lifematters.org.nz. Yeah. Another episode down. See you later.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Thanks for listening to our Hope Centre podcast. The most important message we can leave you with today is that it's okay to ask for help and support. You can contact us at Life Matters on 027 240 0114 by phone or text, or send us a message on our Facebook page. You can also contact us through our website. Just look up lifematters.org.nz. You can also drop in to see us at 63 Hanover Street. We're open every day except Mondays. From Wednesday to Sunday, we're open until 9 p.m. If you need support out of those hours, free call or text 1737. If you'd like to listen again or hear other episodes in this podcast, go to oar.org.nz or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.